This is one of a series of tapes sponsored by the Kentucky Folklife Foundation in cooperation with the Kentucky Oral History Commission on the subject of health care in rural Kentucky in the 20th century. I'm in the home of Mr. Virge Bell, who knew Dr. John Hill, a country doctor in the 30s and 40s. It's Tom Gatewood doing the interviewing. Mr. Bell, you now are owner and operator of a store here, aren't you?
Grocery store, yeah, Jason. A kind of a general store.
When did you get into that business?
1966.
Did you, prior to getting into the grocery business, what type of work did you do?
I was logging, trucking.
How did you get to know Dr. John Hill?
Well, he was a doctor around here when I was a little kid. I'm 69 years old, born 1913, and my dad got some medicine for some of the family when I was about 10 years old, I guess, from Doc Hill. He met him in Monticello. My dad was a teaming, and he met him and told him about... He met him in Monticello and told him about some of the family being sick, and he gave him a little bottle of medicine of some kind, and it straightened him up. Hmm. And I heard Doc say whenever in World War I that flu, you know, broke out and killed a lot of people. And he said he rode a horse up and down this little South Fork River and used Vic Save and, you know, laxative and stuff, and cured a lot of people where a lot of people died with it, you see. In other words, he was doing a better job than the big doctors that people would go to and let them die.
Do you know whether or not Dr. Hill, do you know whether or not he ever went to school or not, or did he just study?
Yeah, he went to school. I don't know. He went to Williamsburg. He got a high school education some way over there, I guess, and then he took some college on medicine and stuff. And of course, he had a diploma, but it wasn't a real doctor's diploma. Wasn't he had a diploma that's showing that he had studied medicine and stuff like that. And he was very good on toothache, pulling teeth, and childbirth. Our doctor, a family doctor here, whenever me and my wife were married in 1939, and three kids was born to us, and he was the midwife on all three of them.
Exactly.
He charged $5 for birthing a kid, you know, and on the two first ones, and by that time, the time the third one come around, he'd gone up five, he charged $10. And what does it cost you now? $1,000?
$2,000? They say up in Lexington, if you don't have $2,000, you better not have a child.
Yeah, that's right. It takes around $2,500, I think, against it's all over with. It's going to the doctor and all of that, you know. Well, our kids has been as healthy on average. The Lord has blessed us with them. They're in good health. All three of them got a good education, college education.
That's good.
And they all made school teachers, mm-hmm. doing just as well as average family anywhere, I'd say.
That's wonderful. Did Dr. Hill's family, do you remember any of his folks being in medical work? Of course, I've been...
No, they never did none of them do none anything them. More than just common labor.
Uh-huh.
Common labor is all.
Wonder how he got interested in it. I guess maybe when he was at college or something. Or what?
Well, nah, he just... His father was a good hustler, good liver. He lived in McCray County, and he got a hold of some of that land cheap, you know, maybe inherited, I don't know. But anyway, they had plenty of money, but he had a terrible big family. He growed two families. Doc's had a bunch of half-brothers and sisters, some of them still living. He got one brother. Still living, and I believe he's got a sister living also, half sisters. Lewis Hill. If you go around Bell Farm, Kentucky, and Lewis Hill lives there. He's a half brother, I guess the baby brother.
Well, when did Dr. Hill come into this community, in this area?
Well, he lived all over through here. He'd move a little while, he'd live one place, and then he'd move maybe a little somewhere else, you know. And like I said there, and when I was a kid about 10 years old, why, he was riding horseback up and down from here. Of course, at that time, he lived in Mount Pisgah. And he would live up around Mount Pisgah, and then he'd move over here around Griffin. And then he finally moved right out here joining farms, or this one. And then they sold that, and he needed to move. And the old lady, Kiz Barrier, she sold him a little patch about 7 acres away for $100, and he built this house right out here and lived there till he died.
And he's buried right behind the store.
Yeah, he was buried on his own property there.
So, yeah, did he do a little bit of farming to supplement his...
Oh, he used to farm big.
Oh, he
has farmed big, and then he'd go out of the business and go back on horseback, you know, riding. He got over here and he wanted to build him a barn and get him some cows. They kept a cow or two, you know, two or three cows and a horse or two, a pair of mules. And he'd get out and ride up and down these roads and doctor a little, and then he'd quit. And
Was he always subject, though, to call if anybody needed him?
Yes, he was good to go. Mm-hmm. Any time in the night that you called him, he was always ready to go, ready and willing. He never grumbled.
To your knowledge, how did he get his medicine? Did he get it at the drugstore? Did he order it? Or did he deserve it?
Well, he could write prescriptions. He could write your prescription to the drugstore, or he carried pill bags, you know. I a little bit believe he ordered a lot of that medicine because, you know, the big old red bottles that come gallon size, something like that. Why, they were scattered all over the place. Now, he could have bought them by the gallons at the drugstores. I don't know, but I never did know where he got his medicine. I figured that he could have ordered it just the same as he bought it from them. Mm-hmm. And but now he kept his little paper bags, you know, that you put pills in, the way a doctor does, and then he writes you directions out on them. And he could just do that like a city doctor. Big medicated, I mean, a graduated doctor.
Did he have an office at all, or he just mainly worked out of the house?
He just set her down in his lap and right had a little thing, you know, maybe his pill bags. He'd turn the lid back and write on that. Or if you go to his house, why, he'd go in the house, maybe had a little desk or something in there, you know. He had a little safe. He kept a lot of his stuff in, you know.
Did he... You said that he charged $5 to deliver babies and then went up to 10 later on. How much did he charge for other type? Did he charge?
Oh,
I know you don't know specifically, but
I believe he charged a quarter for pulling a tooth.
Good, great.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, depending on what kind of medicine he gave you, he more or less charged for the medicine. And, well, maybe be $1 for the whole thing. Sometime maybe be $2 if it was strong medicine or something, you know.
Suppose he stayed up with a person a long time, the real sick, watching them bedside around. I reckon he charged a lot per hour.
Well, usually charge you $1 a trip, $2, something like that, you know. If he had to come to your house and doctor had him a patient there at the house, you know, and he would come there and doctor a while. If he didn't give you too strong or medicine, I mean too costly or medicine, it'd just be $1, sometimes $1.50, $1.25, different prices, you know. He had money all the time. He lived good, as far as that concerned. He never got rich, you know.
And he mainly, you say, transportation, he walked a horse?
He had a horse. He'd always ride his horse, yeah.
Did he ever get an automobile?
Yes, finally on the windup, he got him an automobile. That's about when he went up to the $10 on delivering a baby. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he got him an automobile. He learned to drive, too. He could drive around pretty good. He was way up in years, but he drove around quite a bit. Sometimes he'd get somebody to go with him and drive.
Did he ever open an office in town in Montessori?
No, they wouldn't let him. The other doctors wouldn't let him, you know. Well, he had to do his doctoring out in the country. Of course, they didn't want that job, you know, down there then.
Yeah, I've heard tell that he did open an office there and he's run out, but that might be folklore. It might not be true.
I don't believe it is. Maybe he wanted to. Seemed like he wanted to one time, and they bucked against him, and he had to go back to the country. If he did, I seemed like I heard something said about it, but I know the rumors was that they wouldn't let him doctor in town.
That's a significant mm-hmm. thing. I know I interviewed Mr. Roscoe
Coffee.
Coffee. You know, yeah. He's a real old person.
And yeah.
He says he remembers, and he's a very seemingly not very honest man. Mm-hmm. Though he could have been a rumor, but he said that he did actually open an office there, and he was getting so many patients that they ran him out.
Well, I never heard nothing about that. I know that I always heard that they wouldn't let him doctor in town because he was getting close to them qualified doctors, you know.
I talked to Dr. Duncan about him, Frank Duncan, and he says he practiced and says he wasn't licensed, but he practiced out here, and he said he knew of him. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I think he was his doctor, Dr. Duncan.
Yeah,
Duncan.
I think he was too. Yes, I believe he doctored with Dr. Frank Duncan.
Because he came out when he had that cancer.
Yeah.
When he died.
Mm-hmm.
Must have been a tremendous man. It seemed like he was...
He got a good name of skin cancer, too, being a skin cancer doctor, you know. He got a big name on that. He got a hold of some sort of remedy that would take them skin cancers out, you know. And there was an old lady on Rock Creek. She was a Blevins. She came over here and stayed with him. He didn't charge her much, wouldn't charge her much board, you know, and all that. She would just be covered up with gray, big as half a dollar or silver dollar, you know. And he'd take them out. They said whenever they come loose, the roots of them just look like a spider or something, you know, going every direction. But it finally killed her. They got all over her so bad. And then there was another old guy. He was just some called him a tramp and some called him a bum, you know. But he was, he'd just go around and about, place, stay wherever he'd get to. Burl Turpin was his name. And he moved out there with Dr. Hill and stayed with him for a good long while. He had a different cancer. It wasn't a skin cancer. It was a deep eater, but he didn't do it no good. It finally got the old fella. And then that was what killed Dr. Hill, too. His left arm had went haywire. I believe it was his left arm. It went bad on him, you know, right in the muscle. It just hurt like everything all the time. And when they took him out and took him to the hospital, I went out there and helped load him in the ambulance. And he was complaining about don't bother his arm, you know, don't touch his arm. And when they got up there and x-rayed him, they took him to Danville, I believe, or Louisville or someplace. I don't remember. Anyway, the ambulance came out here and got him and took him away and went to Somerset, and they shipped him on to Lexington or Louisville or someplace. I don't know where. And they found out that he had a cancer and it had eat the bone in two, you know, bone cancer. And, of course, he never did come back home. That was the end of 4 or 5 days, or as long as he lived after that.
In regard to that, it seems like that his house was, in a sense, almost a hospital for some cases. He let people come there and...
Oh, yeah. Well, yes, they always did do that, you know. They'd have somebody stay around with them, work or something, you know. peddling around. They kept a big bunch around. A lot of times you'd see three or four different people around, you know.
And he had wife and children himself.
Oh yeah, yeah. They growed a big family.
Did his wife kind of help him around nursing? I guess sure.
She was a housekeeper, you know, and a close one. She was an awful close woman. They were good-hearted, but she was all close, watched after everything, and, you know, garden. She made a big garden all the time, done a lot of canning, kept chickens. She'd milk cows, you know. If she could, she'd sell butter and milk, chicken and eggs, it didn't matter. Just so she could get a dime out of it while she was looking for the money.
Probably what kept him going a lot of times.
Well, it did help. Yes, it did help.
Mm-hmm. I wonder in that, and you may not know about this, but in regard to the hospitals, of course there weren't many hospitals around in that time, the clinics and things. I wonder if he sent some of his people to the hospital, to the clinic. Did they recognize
no,
him?
No, he never did do that. He never would send nobody. Talking about labor, delivering babies, there used to be quite a few midwives around here, you know. And, some localities, they'd use them. And if Doc Hill was close, well, of course, they'd get him. And I know one lady over on Big Sinkin here. She was some of my relations. She went on a labor case one time, and the baby was needed to be turned to Somerset, you know. And she was afraid to tackle it. So she told him, said, "You're going to have to get Doc Hill or a town doctor." Well, they went and got Doc Hill, and he just changed in with that baby and barned it there within a couple of hours, I said. And it was all right. And so that was how much they all knowed about it, you see. They just didn't go there and let nature take care of itself. If it needed help, they could do it, you see. And they knew what it needed done at that time. But of course, if it got too far along, they'd have to go to a hospital or something, you know. Anymore now, it seemed like one can't be born unless it is in a hospital or somewhere, you know. Dr. Roberts, I don't know if he does right now or not, but it ain't been but just a short time back that he would still go to their home and barn these kids.
Yeah, he's done a lot of it. I interviewed him.
Did you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's delivered a lot of babies out in the county. Believe he does now. He's trying to get up. He's trying to retire. He's getting pretty aged.
Yeah, his age is getting way up there.
But he has a place in his home where he'll see people. He still delivers at the hospital. He relieves Dr. Duncan, I think, or Dr. Frank Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them are getting old, and when they go, there's no young man that even delivers.
That is right. And I'll tell you, it seemed as though that you could just pick up somebody on the streets and do just about as good a job. To me, yes.
Well, obviously, these midwives seem to be able to handle. As long as there's a way, it seems, from little I know, and of course I'm not a doctor and don't know, but it seems like most babies, I know I raised hogs and I know animals, most of them are just a natural thing. You just need somebody there to keep things clean and everything. Mm-hmm. But then, if there is some complications, you need a way to get to a doctor.
That's right, yes.
But what seems like what's breaking down here is all these midwives we used to have are gone.
They are, yes.
And all the country doctors are gone.
Country doctors is gone, and the good doctors that used to could give birth to a baby, and labor, you know, do the labor part. Why they don't do the job like the old ones used to do.
What relative was that of yours that was a midwife?
She was a Roberts, Polly Roberts.
I've heard of her,
Polly Coffey. Her husband's name was Elisha Roberts, and she was a coffee out of this bunch of coffees on Wolf Creek. And she was a good one. And then there was the old lady that was doctrine like that, was Ann Burks, Annie Burks. She was a Blevins. and married a Burks. She come off from the Big South Fork River over in might have probably out of Tennessee. But now she was a good one. Then she had a daughter, Bertie. Bertie Burks. Married a Gilbert. And she took up the work, and she done good for a long many years. I've heard that people say that she'd get in the bed, you know, with them right up on her, in the bed with them on her knees, you know, and God, she'd just stay right there till the thing was over with. Good accommodating people, they were awful good. Of course, they charge a little something for their work, you know, in time, but... But then they was good with the children. They'd clean them up and wash them, you know, and take care of them. See that everything was all right. Maybe drop back by and see how they're getting along.
Did they usually come before the baby was born, too, and kind of talk with the mother?
No, they'd wait until the time, and... Of course, they'd already be spoken to, you see. Mm-hmm. And whenever the time come, why, if it happened in the night, you just get your horse and go, and they'd crawl on a horse, maybe their own. We called her Aunt Ann Burks. She had an old swayback mare she rode. And the Polly Roberts did, too. She'd get on that old mare at midnight and go for 10 miles if it's necessary, you know. It'd make no difference.
Through some very rugged country, I guess.
Yeah. Well, of course, had little trails all over these hills, you know, that way, whichever way you went. It used to be a horseback and a wagon road, went right out up through that hill there and around. Used to be 15 or 20 homes back through there, you know, and if they lived over here, why, it's on day and what night they'd be called out to go back that way. Of course, they lived on down the river and back over there, and
people don't live back in that as much.
No, there's not but one person live back that way now.
There's no roads to there. I know.
There's a road still there. You can still go in on a horse or something or walk, you know. But of course, now then, they've got another road made that you can go in a car back that way too. But
is that by going on down here and coming
down to the next store and go across and hit right out through there? There's...
I'd like to go back in that area and just see. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe some of the old houses still there or something, right? Or they've been torn.
They're all about gone but the one this guy lives in. And there's another one that's still there, but it growed up. You couldn't even get to it. I don't guess a walking. Yeah, my grandmother Coffee lived there. And Roscoe's father and mother, they... See, Roscoe and me is first cousins.
Oh, you are?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, his father and my mother was brothers and sisters.
Was Dr. John was he a member of any church?
Yeah, he was Baptist. He was a Baptist. When he lived in Palmersville, why, he was a Sunday school teacher and the leader of the choir, you know, singing. And after he moved out here, why, he took a good spell out there, and he'd get up on the porch every Sunday morning and sing. You could hear him all over the place. Yeah. Then he would break away, you know. He liked his drink. He'd get drunk and break away.
I heard he liked his drink. That's the one down to tell me that. So this, you probably know the man. He said that I talked to him. That's what he told me. You'd be a good one to talk to. He said he used to be a drinking buddy of Dr. John. His name is nice fellow. I forget his name now, but I've got it down here somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You probably know him. He said he'd be willing to talk with me about him. But said you would probably really know him better. But, Mr. Burnett, Johnny Burnett, you know him?
Yeah, Johnny. Yeah, yeah.
He said he'd be willing to talk with me Monday about him. But
mm-hmm.
You've given me some awful good information. I think this is going to be very, very helpful. Can you think of anything else that might be helpful?
Well, that's about all that I could tell you, I guess. He was just a very handy man around here with the poor people, you know. And a lot of people couldn't have gone to Mount Pisgah and around. Well, I mean, a lot of doctors wouldn't go that far. Of course, most of them people up in there, Burnett and Brown and so on, they had money to bought the hospital or bought the doctors and so on if they'd wanted it, you know. But then there's a lot of just labor class people who work for 50, 75 cents, a dollar a day and so on, you know. They just couldn't pay it. And if a doctor out of Monticello went up there back in the 30s, why, he got $15, you know. Well, Doc, he'll go up there for two and do just about the same thing, you know.
Any of the people probably better.
Yeah, and you take pneumonia fever or typhoid and all that stuff. There was a lot of typhoid fever when broke out along about then, you know. And he was just a genius on that. And he was good on pneumonia, too. And he could stop you right now. I mean, break it up on you.
Let's see what we got here. We've got